I also appreciated hearing the announcement. Sounds like a fun, active assembly to be in. A lot of things going on for the Lord. I commend you in it. It's good to be active for Him. A while ago, Neil Reagan, who is the older brother of President Reagan, was talking to a group of reporters and was commenting on the problems that he has, even he, getting through to his brother. And he said one time he went to the White House and tried to get in, and the security people wouldn't let him in. He says, "I'm the president's older brother. I'm Neil Reagan." He says, "Yeah, yeah, you're the seventh brother he's had here today." As Christians, we can thank the Lord for the access that we have to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And that's what we were reading about just a little while ago. Appreciate Paul reading it. And could we turn to it, please? In Ephesians chapter 3. The Lord's disciples, one day, after seeing and hearing Him pray, had a rather obvious request. They said, "Teach us to pray." And the Lord stopped and did that. And the Lord, knowing that we would need some help to know how to pray, He has given us a number of prayers in Scripture, and also given us specifically what great men and women of God have prayed, and so we can learn from it. Verse 14 is where Paul first begins to comment on how he prays. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I think it's a good thing to remember as we pray to God. First of all, pause to appreciate who He is. Don't jump right on in and give me this, give me that. But let's just pause to appreciate who He is, His greatness, His majesty. The Lord's Prayer, when He taught His disciples how to pray, the first thing He said, "Hallowed be Thy name." A few years ago, many years ago now, I was in Africa and had the opportunity of meeting the President of Portugal. I didn't go bombing in there and said, "Hi, Prez, how you doing? Good to see you, old fella." No, I went in, and with some appreciation of the office that he held, I shook his hand and addressed him as Mr. President. How much more should we do so for the Lord of Lords? We should bow our knees, bow our hearts to the Creator of heaven and earth. We read in Romans 14:11 that, "As I live," we read, "as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." The reason is obvious why people will one day bow the knee to God. Because of His sheer majesty, His sheer greatness, His awesome power. In Psalm 66, verse 3, in the New American Standard, it reads, "How awesome are Thy works! Because of the greatness of Thy power, Thine enemies will feign obedience to Thee." There's coming a day where, in fact, even today sometimes, when people get really their backs against the wall, they feign obedience to God. We don't have to feign it. We happily bow our knees to God. So let's, in our prayers, pause to appreciate His greatness. I heard about a policeman in Ireland who stopped a motorist. Over there, they have a law that you must wear your seatbelt, and if you're caught not wearing it, it's a 50-pound fine. I guess that's probably more like $100 of our money. Significant amount to pay. Motorist was pulled over, and the policeman went up to him and said, "Sir, I see you're wearing your seatbelt." "Yes, sir." "Do you always wear your seatbelt?" "Oh, yes, I do, sir." "Tell me, do you always string it through the steering wheel when you drive?" He feigned obedience to the law. We don't have to do that. George Foreman, I believe it was, one of our former heavyweight boxing champions, has a singing group, and one day someone hearing him sing scoffed and talked to another person sitting next to her and said, "Who told him he could sing?" The person to whom she said it was said, "Well, who's going to tell him he can't?" People will feign obedience to God because of his sheer greatness. We don't have to feign it. We realize who he is. He is Lord of heaven and earth, and he is our Savior. So the very first thing we should do in our prayer is bow the knee. Literally, perhaps even, but certainly our hearts in humility bow to him, realizing who he is. Nebuchadnezzar was a proud and a powerful king, a man who, walking through the palace, as he strutted, said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And as the words were in his mouth, the word came from heaven that he was to be banished from men. And 7 years later, when God restored his reason to him, he was a different man. In humbleness, he said, "I blessed the Most High, and I honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" I bow the knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can do so happily, appreciating his greatness. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Verse 15 goes on talking about the greatness of God. He is the source of all life. In Acts 17:24, we read, "God that made the world and all things therein, giveth to all life and breath and all things." He is the source of all life. He is the source of all good. James 1:7, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." Let's just pause to sing together a verse and a chorus of "How Great Thou Art." I think you know the words, the first verse and the chorus. You folks know it? "O Lord my God." In this little reminder teaching us how to pray, let us bow the knee of our heart and our lives to Jesus Christ, recognizing who he is. Pause to appreciate his greatness and to verbalize it. And now we go on into this prayer of intercession for others. We're reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ also, who had that beautiful prayer of intercession in John 17, just before going to the cross. And I marvel at his grace. I know when I face problems, the person I'm thinking of usually is myself. Here was the Lord thinking of others, interceding for others. And Paul in prison here is thinking of others, interceding for others. And Paul has five requests here that he mentions in these verses. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. His first request for the Christians at Ephesus is that they be strengthened in might in the inner man. And we should pray for this. Pray this for our fellow Christians, our fellow believers. You know, I think too often our prayers for others concentrate on Brother Arthur's arthritis or Sister Sheila's shingles. That's good, and we should. We should pray for each other's physical infirmities. But I think even more we should pray for strengthening for the inner man, because it's by the inner man that we stand or fall. In emergency medicine, I have seen so many sad cases. Perhaps a young person in a peak of health and life and strength, and they come in with a gunshot wound to their head. Why? Because the inner man was having problems. We should pray for strengthening of the inner man. It's by the inner man that we stand or fall. Yes, pray for the physical infirmities, but pray for strength in the inner man. In 3 John chapter verse 2, we read an interesting verse. We read this request as John writes to Gaius. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Isn't that beautiful? Gaius was such a strong Christian that Paul was praying that he would be as strong physically as he was spiritually. You know, sometimes I think as Christians, our inner man is so weak that if our physical man were like it, we'd be in ICU. Let's pray for the inner man, strengthening of the inner man, that we will be strong. And notice, it is by his Spirit that we are strengthened, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Notice also the words, grant you. It is by his gift. Sure, we can have all sorts of wonderful ideas of how strong we're going to be, just like Peter did. But unless we're strengthened by his Spirit, we, of course, will not be strong. So let us pray for this same request for our fellow believers. Lord, strengthen them in the inner man. Make them strong. Make them powerful in you and for you. And then notice it says in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. I love that phrase, according to the riches of his glory. You know, if you went on a spending spree according to the riches of David J. Logan, you would not get very far. You'd soon be having checks that bounced. But if you went on a spending spree with the riches of J. Paul Getty, you could spend and spend and spend and spend and think you're running out and still have far more to spend. I was impressed to read recently that for this past Christmas season, there's a hotel in San Francisco called the Fairmont Hotel and Towers. Their top floor penthouse they rent out to people to stay there for as long as they wish. And if you want to, in case you're ever there and want to rent it for the evening or for the night, the cost to stay there overnight is $20,000. $20,000 to stay in the penthouse suite of the Fairmont Hotel and Towers of San Francisco. You know, that boggles my mind. That's more than my first house cost. Can't believe it. But there's people who have money like that. If you were going spending according to their riches, you could spend a lot. But here, we can be strengthened with the power of Almighty God, according to the riches of his strength. Isn't that great? You know, I feel so weak so many times, and I don't know how I can go on. But that doesn't matter, because I'm held in the hand of Almighty God. I can be strengthened according to his power, according to his strength. And this is what we can pray for our fellow believers, and indeed for ourselves as well. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Do we pray for each other's weaknesses, or do we whisper to others, you know what that person did, you know what that? Let's pray for them. Let's strengthen. Bring them to the Lord. Ask the Lord to give them the power that they need to go on. You know, so often when we respond by criticism instead of by praying for strength for our fellow believers, we are simply showing our own weaknesses. I don't know if you heard about the mountain man in the Ozarks. He had never seen such a thing as a mirror before, and one day he found one out in the forest, and he picked it up and he looked at it. He said, "Hey, that's a picture of my pappy. I'm going to take that home so I can look at it again." So he took the mirror home and he went into the house and he went up the stairs and put it in the attic and covered it up and went on downstairs. Well, his wife was sort of peeking through the slats to see what he was doing. And after he had gone out of the house and left, she went up the stairs and pulled out the mirror. So that's the old hag he's been hanging around with. So often when we criticize others' weaknesses, we're simply criticizing ourselves and showing our own weaknesses. No, may we pray for others for strengthening in the inner man. Now he goes on with two more requests in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. He asks that they be rooted and grounded in love, a very important request for our fellow believers. Why is it important to be rooted and grounded in love? Isn't it enough to be strong? Well, take a mighty oak tree that's growing near a river. The river waters rise and begin to eat away at the roots of that oak tree. And one day the oak tree flops down and floats away because it wasn't rooted and grounded. Something happened to the grounding of that tree. It was very strong, but it wasn't rooted. Christians, let us pray for our fellow believers for rooting and grounding in love. We can be very solid Christians. We can be very knowledgeable in the Word. We can be very active in the work of God. But if we are not rooted and grounded in love, we are nothing. I can be very knowledgeable in the Word. I can know it from cover to cover. I can be very active in His work. But if I am not rooted and grounded in love, if it's not being done in love, I am nothing. And of course, you know why I can say that so strongly. 1 Corinthians 13:2. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give my body to be burned and don't have love, I am nothing. So it's important that we pray for our fellow believers that there be love, that there be strong, overpowering love. Then another request in this verse 17 is that Christ may dwell in your hearts, in our hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Why does he say that? The Lord is in our hearts. If we've trusted him as Savior, he is part of our lives. This has the connotation of being at home, being comfortable. Brother Tom Taylor was talking humorously about how much he enjoys getting home. It's his turf. He likes being there. He feels comfortable. Home is a special place to be. We feel comfortable. We can kick off our shoes. We can put our feet up on the hassock. We don't have to sit there and look intelligent. We can just relax. It's nice to be home. Does the Lord feel that way in my life? Or are there things that I allow in my life that are so would bother him that he would not feel at home? There's some things that were, if they're in my living room, it just wouldn't be home. It wouldn't be fun anymore. Are there things in my life that make my blessed Lord not feel at home? This we should pray for our brothers and sisters, that Christ will dwell in their hearts by faith, that he will feel comfortable. A third request. I've had three requests thus far. Pray that our brothers and sisters and that we ourselves will be strengthened, that we'll be rooted and grounded in love, and this is by Christ dwelling in our hearts. As we get rid of things in our lives that should not be there, Christ in all his fullness will become evident, and the love of God will grow and become stronger and stronger. And then in verse 18, we have a fourth request. That ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God. This we should pray for our brothers and sisters, that they will be able to comprehend, have some idea of the vastness of God's love. Now, we look out at the stars at night and we're impressed when people talk about how far it is to the nearest star and how far away to a galaxy and how many galaxies there are in the universe that we think there are. It just kind of boggles our mind because this is our own little sphere here. Paul prays for his fellow believers that they'll have some idea of the vastness of God's love, the height, the length, the breadth, the greatness of God's love. Would you turn back from Ephesians and into chapter 2, if you would? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. This tells us something of the depth of God's love. I have the wrong reference. Would you turn on, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and let's start at verse 5. What is the depth of God's love? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How deep is God's love? How far down does it go? It came down to reach me. He came down to the cross, and he died on the cross, even the death of the cross, the creator of heaven and earth. This is the depth of his love. 1 John 3:1 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We read in Psalm 69, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I sink in deep mire. How deep is the love of God? What is the depth of his love? To reach down to us, and he has saved us. What is the breadth of his love? Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Because of how deep he went to raise us up, the breadth of his love is to take our sins away as far as the east is from the west.
As far as the west is removed from the east, he banished my sins, both the greatest and the least. My sins are forgiven, are yours. My sins are forgiven, are yours. And this is the reason I'm pardoned today, because with his blood he has washed them away. My sins are forgiven, are yours. My sins are forgiven, are yours.
Our sins can be removed as far as the east is from the west because of the breadth of God's love. What is the height of his love? And now we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. He reached down to us. He saved us. He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west when we trust him as Savior. And now we read verse 4, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, the depths, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How high is God's love? He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, if someone broke into my home and stole everything that was dear to me, and they caught the person, it'd be one thing for me to forgive him and say, well, that's okay. I take it you were in need, and I forgive you. It'd be another thing to take that young fellow and say, I hear you're homeless. You don't have a father and mother. You may be our son. You may live in our home. One would be to bring him back to zero. You're forgiving him. The other is to raise him up and to be part of your family. There could have been just the depth of God's love, but there's the height of his love too. And he's raised us up together in Christ Jesus. How great is his love? What is the length of his love? Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our chapel recently bought a copier. We asked, how long is the guarantee? It's 90 days. On day 91, if anything goes wrong, it's our responsibility. It's not the way with the Lord. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. Never. What is the length of his love? Forever. And Paul prays for his fellow believers that they'll have some idea of the vastness of God's love. And then in the next verse, he has a fifth request. I'll read again in verse 18 and go on into 19. That ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and length, breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. He goes on asking not just that they'll have some understanding, appreciation, comprehension of the vastness of God's love, but he says, Lord, help them to know that love. Help them to experience that love. Just like an empty teacup floating on an ocean, a vast ocean, empty, not a drop in it. It's senseless. Dip into the waters. There's the vastness of God's love. And we should pray for our fellow believers and for ourselves that we dip into that vastness, that we know it, that we experience that, we revel in it, and just enjoy the greatness of God's love for us. This verse in the Amplified reads, that you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ. We've been reminded, first of all, that we should bow our knees to the greatness of God. And then the 5 points that we should pray for, we should pray for strength for our fellow believers. We should pray that we are rooted and grounded in love, that strength isn't just something all by itself, that we are rooted in love, grounded in love. We should pray that Christ will feel at home in our fellow believers' lives. We should pray for a comprehension, some idea, some appreciation of the vastness of God's love. And then finally, we should pray that we will experience and enjoy the vastness of that great love of our Savior for us. I've been assuming that most everyone here knows the Lord in a personal way, on that they have accepted Christ as Savior, because just as I was saying, there can be a whole vast ocean of water, but you can have an empty teacup. So there can be the vastness of God's love, but if I close the door to my life and do not let him be Lord and Savior of my life, then that love means nothing to me. There's the vastness of God's love, but I must accept him as Savior personally for that love to flow into my heart. Can we know that our sins are forgiven? We read in the Word of God, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You know, what I find in modern day America, the biggest problem is to convince our fellow humans, that we need help. Now, if a swimmer was out in a river swimming around and you threw him a life jacket or a life belt, he'd probably ignore it. But if he knew that he was 100 feet upstream from the brink of the Niagara Falls, he'd grab it as fast as he could. There has to be a recognition of need. Without the love of God in our lives, without the cleansing power of Jesus Christ in our lives by the Word of God, our failure, and by the Word of God, our destination is hell. That's what the Bible says. If I keep Christ out of my life, if I do not accept His finished work of dying on the cross for me, if I do not let Him be Lord of my life, then my sins are not removed as far as east is from the west, but I will one day stand before God if that is the case, and God will judge for what has been done in this life. That doesn't have to be. By accepting Christ as Savior, by a realization that I cannot make it on my own, and that again is based very clearly on Scripture, I cannot make it on my own to heaven. My good works are not enough. That I need this love of God. I need this cleansing power of God in my life. Unless I accept this cleansing power, I cannot get to heaven. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. We must realize our need of salvation. When a person accepts Christ as Savior and turns his or her life over to God, says goodbye to the old and says, from now on, I want you to be Savior and Lord of my life. I want you to take the controls. I want you to run things. Then there is all sorts of hope. The vastness of God's love can flood into that life, and there can be true happiness, true joy. And as we're talking about the length of God's love, it'll never run out. He's not going to back down on what he has done for us. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's the beauty about knowing Christ as Savior. You know, a few years ago, there's a man in Kuwait by the name of Yusuf Jafar. He did a very noble thing. He gave a kidney of his to his brother, whose kidneys were shot and had to be on dialysis. The only way he could live was either by continued dialysis, which can have its problems long term, or by receiving a kidney. They made tests. Yusuf had a kidney that could be donated to him. 10 months later, Yusuf Jafar asked for his kidney back. This is a story. Came up in civil court in Kuwait. And this is what Yusuf said. My brother is unworthy of the sacrifice I made for him. He agreed to use his new lease on life to change his ways and to help support our parents. Instead, he has continued to ignore his duties to his family. He refused to work. He has gambled away family money. He has disgraced our family name. I thought I was doing him a good deed when I saved him. Now I am convinced I was wrong to interfere with God's plan. And he went to court to sue to get that kidney taken out of his brother and put back into him. You know, that's what's so nice about belonging to Christ. He changes our life. He wants to be Lord, not just Savior, but Lord, and changes our life as we turn it over to Him. And we will never perish. Why? Our sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? You can't measure it. Where is the east? Where is the west? They're gone. Our sins are gone. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He's never going to say, okay, that's the last straw. Here's your sins. You can face Almighty God in your own sins. That's it. No. When we turn our lives over to Him, we are safe for all eternity. And then He wants us to make Him Lord of our lives. It's a great way to live in the fullness and the vastness of God's love. I'd like to have Ruthie and Gracie join me on a song here. And then that beautiful verse that our brother commented on, now unto him, this Paul does so frequently, he just can't help himself as he thinks of the greatness of God's love and who God is. Now unto him, he just breaks forth into praise, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Terrific verse. He's able to do. He is able. We bought a computer a while ago. I went to the, computers can do all sorts of wonderful things. I walked in, I said, I'd like to do this. He said, you can't do it with your computer. The Lord is able. He's able to do all that we ask or think. He's able to do above all that we ask or think. He's able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not just we ask, but what we can imagine. God is able to do it. We can bask in His strength and in His love. Let us pray for one another. Let us pray for ourselves. Let us pray for the inner man, that our lives here on earth will count for Him. And why? We read it in the last verse. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end. Amen. May our lives be for Him and for His honor and glory. Just one more song, talking about the greatness of our blessed Lord.